This is All Things Considered from 89.9 KCRW and KCRW.com. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us on this President's Day, on this Monday. And every Monday we have a conversation with Kevin Roderick from LA Observed, and he's with us now. Kevin, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Steve.
Nice of you to join us on this President's Day. I want to talk more about this investigation that the LA Times did about the Oscars and about the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences, the members who are mostly white and mostly men and older than most people.
Indeed.
Does it bother you? Is that something? I mean, did you think that this was something that was going on? I mean, did you have an idea? Is this just one of those things like, duh?
Well, I think we all knew that the Oscars Academy, if you want to use that glorified term, was an older group of people and probably very white and maybe not too reflective either of the Hollywood industry at large or the rest of the country. But it is still surprising to see some of these numbers. I mean, what did the reporter say? Something like 14% of the people are under 50?
Under 50. 94% white.
And 94% white. The median age is 62. That's still pretty shocking to have those numbers attached to it. I mean, it confirms what we all sort of feel about the Oscars Academy. But it also maybe starts to shed some light on why the voting turns out the way it does. You know, you have movies like last year, the big dispute was over The Social Network versus The King's Speech.
Yeah.
And there was a whole bolt of people who thought The Social Network should have gotten a lot more recognition. And maybe it would have if the Academy voters had been from a younger cohort of society, perhaps.
Do you think it and I asked Nicole Sperling this question earlier. Do you think it taints the Oscars in any way? It makes an Oscar less prestigious, less honorable?
Well, I think it feeds into people's own biases that they already bring to looking at the Oscars. I mean, if you feel that the Oscars are reflecting, you know, not the kind of movies that you think should be honored, if you think that the Oscars is sort of outdated, well, of course, this is going to feed right into it. I mean,
right.
And it's really hard for the Academy to defend. I mean, they are way out of touch in this way in terms of the voting membership. But, you know, when we look at the Oscars, I'm not sure they're all that prestigious to begin with in some ways.
Really?
It's a group of people that rule on our movies, right? But we, you know, I think everybody takes
37 million people tuned in to watch that not so prestigious
exactly, but it's because
show.
There's, you know, there's nothing else. It's you know, there are certainly a lot more prestigious and more reflective of a good movie than, you know, the Golden Globes. Who really cares what the Golden Globes people think? You care more what the Oscars people think. But still, you know, I just feel like it's becoming a little bit of a dated concept for us to be told by this, quote, Academy what the best movies are.
I want to move on now and talk about this guy, Greg Packer, who apparently is one of the most quoted people on Earth.
He's pretty funny.
This is a gentleman who lives in New York. You've mentioned it in your blog as well about he somehow finds his way into a lot of stories where he's quoted by so many different places, New York Times and the Associated Press and others. And now the LA Times has finally quoted him as well.
Indeed. Greg Packer is the kind of guy who likes to be first in line when the new product is coming out at the Apple store or first in line at some big news event. And he makes sure that he's going to be interviewed by reporters. He's been quoted by the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, ABC News, and more than 100 times by AP. So much so that the editors at AP sent out a memo to their bureaus warning people, please, let's not talk to Greg Packer anymore.
Really? Avoid him?
Avoid him. He is a real person. He's
right.
He's a highway maintenance worker from Long Island.
This is like any Joe Q public, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But he's somebody who really, really wants to be quoted. Well, he had been in lots of places, but he had never been in the Los Angeles Times before, as far as anybody knew. And on Saturday, the reporter covering Whitney Houston's funeral in New Jersey, indeed, she fell for Greg Packer this time and quoted him complaining that there were not a lot of TV screens outside the funeral for people on the outside to follow what was going on inside. And it was just, it's kind of a milestone of American media that Greg Packer has now made it into the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah, and someone else making it into the Los Angeles Times is Jonathan Gold, who is apparently leaving LA Weekly and going to the LA Times. Wow, what a jump.
It's a big hire for the LA Times. Jonathan Gold is, you know, I think the only food critic in America to win the Pulitzer Prize for criticism.
Mm-hmm.
He won that a few years ago, and he won it for the LA Weekly. It's been a tough few years for the LA Weekly, but Jonathan Gold was essentially their last marquee name, and he is now going back to the LA Times, where he did work before.
Mm-hmm.
He interrupted his tenure at the LA Weekly with a few years at the LA Times writing about food and music in the past, and came back to the Weekly around the time that his wife became editor of the Weekly some years ago. So it's a big hire for the LA Times, and is going to be the, you know, not something that the LA Weekly had hoped to have happen. Their bosses back in Phoenix spent a lot of this past weekend trying to convince Jonathan Gold to stay with the Weekly. Apparently, you know, threw some serious money at him from what I've learned. But the announcement was made today that he is definitely moving to the LA Times.
Kevin Roderick from LA Observe, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.